Well, while you're ministering to the Lord, your gift, I found this in the news report, and it blessed my heart. It blessed my heart because it's touching an issue of truth that we have all probably thought of in one way or the other. This is Oklahoma Wesleyan president rebukes whiny safe space students. College kids, yep. Don't let this hurt you, college kids, all right? All hope may not be lost. The following is the note from the university president in its entirety. This past week, I actually had a student come forward after a university chapel service and complained because he felt victimized by a sermon on the topic of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It appears that this young scholar felt offended because a homily on love made him feel bad for not showing love. In his mind, the speaker was wrong for making him and his peers feel uncomfortable. I'm not making this up. Our culture has actually taught our kids to be self-absorbent, narcissistic. Anytime their feelings are hurt, they are the victims. Anyone who dares challenge them and thus makes them feel bad about themselves is a hater, a bigot, and an oppressor, and a victimizer. I have a message for this young man and all others who care to listen. The feeling of discomfort that you have after listening to a sermon is called conscience. An altar call is supposed to make you feel bad. It's supposed to make you feel guilty. That is, if you're guilty, of course. Yeah. The goal of many a good sermon is to get you to confess your sins, not coddle you in your selfishness. The primary objective of the church and the Christian faith is your confession, not your self-actualization. So here's my advice. If you want the chaplain to tell you you're a victim rather than to tell you your need of virtue, this may not be the university you're looking for. If you want to complain about a sermon that makes you feel less than loving for not showing love, this might be the wrong place. If you're more interested in playing the hater card than you are confessing your own hate, if you want to arrogantly lecture rather than humbly learn, if you don't want to feel guilt in your soul when you're guilty of sin, if you want to be an enabler rather than confronted, there are many other universities across this land, in Missouri and elsewhere, that will give you exactly all you want. But the Oklahoma Wesleyan isn't one of them. At OKWU, we teach you to be selfless rather than self-centered. We are more interested in you practicing personal forgiveness than political revenge. We want you to model interpersonal reconciliation rather than foment personal conflict. We believe the content of your character is more important than the color of your skin. We don't believe that you have been victimized by every time you've felt guilty, and we don't issue trigger warnings before altar calls. Oklahoma Wesleyan is not a safe place, but rather a place to learn that life isn't about you, but about others. The bad feeling you had while listening to the sermon is called guilt. And the way to address it is to repent of everything that's wrong with you, rather than blame others for everything that's going wrong with them. This is a place where you will quickly learn that you need to grow up. This is not daycare. This is a university. In a twist that no one would have seen coming 50 years ago, private religious colleges may be the last bastion of campus free speech and sensibility when all of this plays out. Obviously, the end game of the social justice warriors who scream about microaggressions, safe spaces, trigger warnings, is a complete dismantling of the First Amendment. Ironically, telling them to shut up is probably the essential component to saving freedom of thought and speech on the American campuses. This is a topic I've dealt with humorously and seriously for a couple of decades now. My daughter is heading off to college in this fall, and we're going to have a lot of discussions about social justice warriors and what they're really doing. This dystopian nightmare on college campuses that sees free speech and due process constantly under assault needs to be countered quickly and permanently. We may not be able to undo the damage if it goes much longer. End of quote. I thought that was an outstanding article. If you'd like a copy of it, I'll give it to you. Praise the Lord. And by the way, that is not my sermon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. I have been on a different. How long were we on our last series?
Since August.
Unto others. And we were looking through the unto others admonitions from the scripture. And in the middle of that, actually it was about 5 weeks ago, the Lord gave me the direction of, might have been a little bit longer than that, the direction of what I'm going to be speaking on in my next series. And I'm a series preacher, everybody knows that. That once I get started on something, I stay on it until I'm done in my heart. I know right now that I have probably 6 weeks on this. Probably we're going to do this Sunday and next Sunday, and then we're going to put right in the middle of it our Christmas treasures, which is a tradition that we do. But then we're going to take it back up on the first of the year. Today we're going to start out. We're talking about, do you notice, can you see what it says? Following the plan of God. Following the plan of God is the theme, and we're going to be looking at some different aspects of following the plan of God as directed from the scripture. And today we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 12, and you can put your finger in there, chapter 12 and verse 1. We're living in a day that we don't have time to be playing any longer. It's not time to play church. It's time to really get serious about our walk with the Lord. The last days are upon us. You do understand that, don't you? I want to say it again. The last days are upon us. We're in the last of the last days. And it's very evident. Every time you read a newspaper, you're seeing it. You're seeing evidences of it. The whole issue with ISIS is something that was spoken in the book of Daniel. And so we're in the last of the last days, brothers and sisters, and critical years lie ahead of us. And there's a great work that still needs to be done, and a great harvest of souls that need to be reaped. And never has it been more important to be free from everything that's bound us in the past. Never has it been more important. Never has it been more crucial for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. It's time for us to shape up and be the Christian that we consider ourselves to be. It's time for us not to talk the talk. It's time for us to walk the walk. Amen. And God has a plan for our lives. It's time to get serious about serving God and being everything that He wants us to be. And the truth is, as we walk in obedience, our past failures and shortcomings that's hindered us in days past, not going to be able to keep us from the will of God and from the plan of God, the plan that God's ordained us for. Incidentally, you're looking at somebody that does not believe that the preacher is the only one that's ordained. I believe every one of you are ordained of God to do certain things in the body of Christ. I don't believe church is something that you decide to do. I believe it's a calling of God for each one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, I want to say again, God has a plan for your life. God had a plan for your life from the foundation of the world. That's what the scripture tells us. You know, Danielle was born into the world, and her mama and her dad, oh, wonderful, Danielle is born into the world. But they weren't near as joyful as God was. Because God sees the ultimate of her life from start to finish. And God sees his plan coming to pass in her life. And God has certain purposes just for her that she can't push off on anybody else. It's her responsibility. Now, I could use every one of you and say the very same thing. Here's a verse of scripture that I dearly love out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You could put your name there. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is God speaking to us, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. Everybody say all. See, we're in a day where it's all or nothing. That's what I'm saying to you. Serious. I'm talking serious here. I want to read that out of the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you shall call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. God has a plan for our lives, saints. Amen. Again, we're going to be looking in this issue of the Word of God and the will of God for you. For me. I'm not just pointing to you. I'm speaking to myself as I speak to you. And of course, the issue for all of us is, we just got to quit playing games with God. And it's time to get really, really, really serious about our lives. I know one day I'm going to stand in front of Jesus. I'm not going to have Pastor Potts standing in front of me and Jesus. I'm not going to have my mama standing in front of Jesus, or between me and Jesus. There's going to be nobody between me and Jesus. It's going to be me and Jesus. Amen. I got to tell you, that's going to be a serious time for all of us. Amen. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and strength. And I want that day to be such a blessed day. I want to hear good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear good and faithful servant? But see, the issue of hearing good and faithful servant is going to have to do with what you do in this time on this earth in your life. Amen. So now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 1, of course, this is a admonition from the writer of Hebrews concerning the people, their walk of faith and walking in the will of God. And if you know the history behind Hebrews, some of the Hebrew Christians were being tempted to walk back into their Hebrew and away from Christianity. And so the need for this admonition. It's just as applicable to us who find it so easy just to relax and just live our normal, natural life and not pay close attention to our spiritual life. And so there's application there. We're going to look at it. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You have a particular race that God has set before you. It's a spiritual race. It has to do with your divine destiny. God has a plan for you to fulfill. God has a plan for Samuel Luke to fulfill. God has a plan for Rebecca Christine to fulfill. And see, the truth is, regardless of what they do in their secular side of life, God still has a plan for them. They don't have to be called to preach the gospel. God still has a plan for them. It may be that Rebecca, you've heard Rebecca talk about she's going to be going to Panama as a missionary. She says 3 years. She don't know that. She's going to follow God today. We'll get to that, by the way. Yeah, we're all the time looking down the road. No, we follow God one step at a time. And so this plan, whether you ever preach behind a pulpit or not, it has very little to do with it. God's plan for you, though, His race that's set before you, is particular to you. You don't have to be like me. Thank God you're not like me. I think we can only handle one. Yeah. The Bible says that you're not only to run your race, but you're to finish your race. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 4 talks about that. We may look at that a little bit later. But God's got a plan that He wants you to fulfill. And you're not to run someone else's plan or someone else's race. Amen. God has a different course for every one of us. Our course is as individual as we are. Now, why is it so important to follow God's plan for our life? How can we successfully run our race and finish our course? The Bible has answers for us. But the first thing that I want you to notice here in verse 1, it says that we're not running the race unobserved. Did you notice that? We're not running the race unobserved. We're compassed about, the scripture says, with a great cloud of witnesses. Remembering the writer of the Hebrews, I believe the writer of Hebrews was Paul, but in his letter to the Hebrews, you understand he didn't write it in chapter and verse. When you write a letter, you don't write it in chapter and verse. You write thoughts, and one thought springs from another, and there's a flow there. Well, if you look at the flow in the book of Hebrews, just preceding chapter 12, of course, he talks about the gallery, the heroes of faith. Amen. Paul listed these heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He began with Abel, and he went on to talk about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And then at the very end of the chapter, at the very end, Paul referred to all of these heroes of faith and said, and all these obtained a good report through faith. Every one of their races was different. There are some things they held in common. You want to know what they held in common? That you're going to have to live by faith. And faith is going to cost you everything. Sometimes it costs you your friendships. It's true. I've lost some very good friends as a result of my faith. Yeah. It causes you to gain new friendships. I have some heart friends, friendships, where there are people that are truly concerned about me. One of those couples that you know and you see regularly, that's Dick and Penny Johnson. God linked us together. I told Dick one time, I said, I think God linked us together because you had to teach me how to relax. Do you know how Dick is? Dick is the most laid back, slow man I have ever met. And those of you that know my nature know I'm like my mother, you know. Zoom, 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 you know. And so God puts the two of us together, never more frustrating and more fun. Yeah. Isn't that something? And so our faith sometimes will cause us to gain friendships that people that we never knew, you know. Some of the people in this place, it's that way. Now, Gary and I, we went to high school together. And I knew Gary. I'd say hi to Gary, but I really didn't know him well. But when our faith came to the forefront of our lives, it drew us together like a magnet. Yeah. Yeah, praise God. And I really got to know Gary in a greater way. Isn't that something? And so faith changes everything in our lives. Now here he is, he's saying in this next verse, he's talking about, he's reminding us all this gallery of hallmark of faith in chapter 11. And then he says, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So the men and the women of faith that Paul's speaking of in the scripture are a part of that cloud of witnesses. Amen. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. The Living Bible says this: since we have such a huge crowd of men and women of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us run with patience the particular race that's set before us. Paul uses this illustration of running a race to describe how we follow the plan of God in our lives. And he gave us this picture of the Grecian games, the athletic games. They were held in Paul's day. They're similar to the Olympic games today that we have. And in those games, those who ran these races were compassed about with and surrounded by people watching them from the grandstands and cheering them on. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul's saying, in essence, all these heroes that I've listed, all other believers who have ever died, are watching us from the grandstands of heaven to run our spiritual race. The great cloud of witness in heaven. Every believer on earth, everyone who's a part of the family of God in heaven and on earth that we know, is a part of that grandstand of faith. The scripture says this. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's the great cloud of witnesses, brother and sister. And I hope it encourages you to know that you have a family that's watching you in the grandstands and urging you on. I think about it quite a lot. I think about a little grandma when I was 6 months old. That's the last time I saw her. Grandma Young, she lifted me up to Jesus Christ and dedicated me to the Lord. Yeah. Mom told me all about it. I don't know anything about that woman, but I know that she's in heaven. Amen. A strong Baptist woman who loved Jesus with all of her heart. And the only link that I have on this earth is when I was 6 months old. But yet I'm going to see her. I'm going to see a babysitter that at the time I really hated, because she corrected me. You know, children don't appreciate being corrected until after they've grown up and they look back and they see the purpose for all that correction, you know. Yeah. And Hazel Munson is in that grand stand of heaven, and I'll have a big hug waiting for me when I get to one other one that I think of right off hand, and I don't want to go through this list. It's not my purpose to do that. Because see, all of us have these that we can pull out, but Bud Harris, a spirit-filled Methodist that came from alcohol to ran to Jesus, and his life was changed instantly. Amen. And as fast as he ran for the devil, he ran even faster for Jesus in his life. Glory to God. And so I think about that. I think now this grandstand of witnesses that's in heaven, they're watching you. They're not watching you run your natural race. They're watching you run your spiritual race. And they're not interested in what kind of clothes you buy or how much money you have or what kind of house you live in. But they are interested in spiritual things. And they're interested whether or not you're following God's plan in your life. Now, Brother Hagin shared something along these lines that I want to share with you. A lady by the name of Sister Jeannie Wilkerson prophesied over him in 1968. And basically, this is what the prophecy said to him. Prophesied that in the fall of the year, Brother Hagin was going to have an experience similar to Enoch's. And that as Enoch was caught away in the flesh and his physical body departed from this earth, that even so it would come on Brother Hagin. And so I want to read to you what Brother Hagin had to say about that. Here's what he said, quote, "Sister Wilkerson prophesied that I would be caught away in the spirit and receive revelation from God. I didn't do anything to try to make that prophecy come to pass. I just continued to serve God. And then the fall of that year, my only sister, Olita, died of cancer when she was 55 years of age. Olita had been sick once before and almost died. And when I prayed for her, she was healed. She was a spiritual babe in Christ at the time, so I could get her healed on my faith in the Word. But this time when she got sick, she was no longer a spiritual baby, and I couldn't make any changes with my faith. And you won't be able to carry other people on your faith indefinitely, because God expects each one of us to grow in our faith and expects us to stand on our faith. So my sister died in the fall of that year. In fact, our family was all gathered around my sister's bed on the evening that she drew her last breath. And about 1:30 the next morning, I was lying in bed thinking about what it must have been like for my sister as her spirit left her body and she ascended into heaven to be with the Lord. And I thought about my time when my heart stopped beating on August the 16th, 1933, as I lay in the bed of sickness. And when my heart stopped, my spirit left my body, and I looked back down and I could see my body lying there in the bed. And I saw my mother holding my hand. And then I thought about my sister. When she died and left her body, she must have looked down upon all of us gathered around her bed and seen our love and our concern. As I was thinking about this, suddenly a bright golden beam of light from heaven, about as big as an elevator shaft, penetrated through the ceiling of my house. And that light touched me, and my spirit left my body. And I went up through that beam of light as if I was going up through an elevator until I reached heaven. And in heaven, I saw my sister talking to Jesus. And when I walked up to them, Jesus stopped talking to her and looked at me. And then my sister turned around to see who Jesus was looking at and saw me. And the first thing my sister said to me was, "Ken, don't feel so badly you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. There was a reason why you couldn't." And she didn't tell me the reason. Sometimes God reveals things to us. Sometimes God doesn't reveal things to us. The reason why some people don't receive their healing. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. My sister told me she had already seen Granny and Grandpa and my mother's parents. She also said she had seen her grandson Jason, who died when he was 3 years old. And then she said, "Kenneth, I saw Anne." Anne was her daughter who had died as a result of an automobile accident when she was 25 years old, leaving behind two small children. My sister continued, "The first thing Anne said to me, 'How are Bill and the children?'" Bill was Anne's husband. "I didn't tell Anne that Bill had remarried." Then my sister said something that came as a real revelation to me. She said, "You see, people up here aren't interested in the natural side of life. They're not concerned about whether or not you're buying a new dress or a new suit or how much money you have in the bank. But they are concerned about spiritual things. They don't know what happens in your natural life, but they know everything that happens spiritually in your life. They know when you make a decision for Christ." My sister was talking about a cloud of witnesses in heaven watching us as we run our race. That was the revelation that Sister Wilkerson had prophesied I would receive. Before this experience of being caught up to heaven, I'd only have a hint or a glimpse of that revelation. My sister also said to me, "Ken, please talk to," and she mentioned the name of her youngest son. "He'll listen to you." So my sister was The son my sister was talking about had known God at one time and had the call of God upon his life and ministry, but then he ran away from God and hadn't been in fellowship with God for many years. My sister said, Tell my son I told you that he will never be happy in life, and life will never go right with him until he surrenders his life with the Lord. And tell him when he rededicates his life to the Lord, I will know it." Now she's talking about knowing things that are spiritual. I think that's quite wonderful, especially when you think about how many people are praying for you, how many people have prayed for you, Helen. I wonder how many times your father has prayed for you in heaven. I think of those things. I think about Dale Carnes. I bet you Dale Carnes is still praying for his little preacher. I sure hope so, because I need it. See, the thing is that when we're talking about these things, we're not talking about people that are dead. They're alive. And life is real, more real than this life we're living here. Amen. I'm relating these things to let you know that heaven is really more real than we've ever known. Yeah. I've got a family. I've got a great cloud of witnesses that's watching me from the grandstands. I want to do my best for Jesus, and I want to do my best for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they're all watching us as we run our spiritual race. And if you have any loved ones who've gone home to be with the Lord, you know, the truth is they're watching you run your race. They're cheering you on as you follow God's plan for your life, because they want to see you finish your course. Following God's plan for our lives is the most important lifelong quest we'll ever fulfill. Yeah. Heaven and hell are moved to either encourage us or discourage us from following God's plan in our life. The flow of the world, the flesh, and the devil is arrayed against us to keep us from fulfilling God's plan for our life. And heaven's grace is being outpoured even now for us to help us run this race. Let me just quote you a little scripture that maybe you've not thought of in this way. Finally, my brethren, I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You understand, on this earth, we've got the wiles of the devil to deal with. There's a confrontation going on right now. You may not even be able to see it with your eyes, but there's a confrontation that goes on. There's a pressure that tries to push us and move us against the flow of God. And there's the flow of God. So we're being pulled, we're being tossed, we're in the middle of the whole mess. I'm not talking about the plan of God being the mess, mind you. Amen. And so he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Who would have ever thought we would see the news, the stuff we're seeing today? Who would have ever thought the things that the world is calling good, that we would ever see such things? Amen. I'm just telling you that there's a fight going on for your life. Amen. And the purpose of Satan, he wakes up every morning with one purpose: to stop you from following God, and to stop me from following God. And God wakes up with one purpose. God's purpose is to pour out his grace from heaven and to command his angels to help us to follow the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, how are we going to run our race? How are we going to walk in the plan of God? How's it going to be fulfilled? How's it going to be fulfilled in our lives so that heaven can rejoice? The scripture goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Okay, so now we're looking at three different things here: weights, sins, patience. Yeah. Living Bible tells us, Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down. That's talking about the weights. And holds us back. And the sins, of course. And especially those sins which wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. You think about the way that the runner dresses. I remember Gary Musson. Gary Musson was a fast runner. Yeah. We had some guys, but you know, I never once saw them wearing street clothes to run. Why not? Why didn't they wear robes? Have you ever ran in a robe? Anybody here ever run in a dress? You don't run very fast, do you? No, not at all. Yeah. So a runner, he doesn't run in an overcoat. It would slow him down. And the runner doesn't wait until he's halfway in the middle of the race before he pulls off the overcoat. Yeah. If he did that, there's no way he would win. Amen. And in the same way, in the spiritual realm, there are weights and sin that slows us down and trips us up. I want to tell you about the time when my niece and nephew and the Spina kids broke my big toe. They broke my big toe. Yes. And we were staying with the Spinas, and as I am prone to do, I'm roughhousing with the kids, and I stand up, and a couple of kids got me bound up in my feet, and a sleeping bag had me bound up in my feet. And some kids, two kids, I'm not sure which it was, it's probably Rebecca, jumped on my back. Isaac. Was that Isaac? Okay, I'll ask Isaac when I see him. Jumped on my back, which propelled me forward, and I'm falling because things were wrapped around my foot, and the only thing I could do, I'm trying to keep my balance, and so I pick my foot up and slam it back down into the floor, and I heard a pop. Pop. I knew what that sound was. And I still have four little rugrats gathered around me. Yeah, rugrats. Rugrats, that's what I said, yes. Yes, indeed. Now, I've forgiven them. I've forgiven her, of course. Yeah. But you know what? That's a great picture of what weights and sin will do for us. That's a great picture of weights and sin. Not, Rebecca, that you're sin. I want you to understand that. But you were a weight on that day. That's right. Yeah. You see, the truth is weights and sin hinder us, trip us up. And weights and sin can even prevent us from running our race properly. Amen. And sin will hinder our fellowship with God and will dull our spirit so that we're less responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Can actually get us to the place where we can't even hear from God for ourselves. Yeah. And left unchecked, you'll live only in the natural realm and you'll miss God's best for your life. It's easy to become as well too entangled in legitimate affairs, things that may be good in themselves, but still have to be managed in our life. Amen. They're not necessarily wrong, but they'll definitely slow us down in our particular spiritual race. And that's why God tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, strip off the weights and the sins. Yeah. We should strip them off now so that we're not hindered from fulfilling God's plan in our life. There's another passage of scripture that I want to throw in there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe I mentioned that to begin with. Verse 7 and 8. Here's the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. He said, I have fought the good fight. I want you to notice something about the life that we are in right now. It is a fight. Yeah. Your faith is what's being fought over. Your confidence in God is what's being fought over. Amen. And the devil knows that if he can get to your faith, he can rob you of your security in God. Amen. And I've watched that happen to way too many people in the last 30 years of ministry. Amen. Probably one of the greatest frustrations in my life. One of the greatest frustrations in my life is to watch people that I love walk away. Yeah. I've seen way too many. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us exactly what to do in this situation. He wants us to strip ourselves of those weights and sins. Amen. And who's the one who's supposed to be doing the stripping? It's not your pastor. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word to you. Your job is to take the word and apply it to your life. It's not even my job to apply it to your life. It's your job to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we can encourage each other in the Lord, but the truth is, apart from all that encouragement, which I believe is helpful, ultimately, you're the one that's going to obey or not obey. Yeah. You're the one who's got to strip yourself of those weights. You've got to see yourself how they hinder you. Amen. You've got to strip yourself of those sins. And of course, God will give you help. The Holy Spirit's our helper. He dwells with us. And he'll give us power and ability to obey. But God's not going to pull the coat off for you. That's your job. I said, that's your job. You're going to have to do it. And that's why some people have trouble running their spiritual race. Because they're not stripping everything that slows them down. They're not looking at what slows them down spiritually. Yeah. They're not laying aside the weight and the sin that binds them up. Another reason people have trouble, we just read it just a few minutes ago, running their spiritual race is they're not running the race God told them to run. They're not following God's plan for their lives. When this happens, our race becomes hard and burdensome. And God doesn't want our race to be hard and burdensome. As a matter of fact, he said, come unto me, all that labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. God wants to give you rest in your race with him. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I got to tell you, in my life, the one who has been my greatest, if I could say cheerleader, is the Lord. And the one who's forgiven me the fastest is the Lord. People are 1,000 times slower at forgiving you than Jesus. Yeah. And the one who's cleaned me up time and time again and has never done anything except show love and compassion to me, it's the Lord. Amen. Can you say the same thing? Amen. Do you know my Jesus? Yeah, I think you do. Amen. And so I constantly say this. You've heard me say it. Repentance is our friend. Repentance is our friend. Amen. And run to him. Don't run away from him. Amen. Oftentimes, we have difficulties running the race. Because we've failed to strip these things off of us. Weights and sins. Those things that hinder us. In the same way you might take a coat off and throw it down and make the decision to strip off. These are the things that you have to make the decision to strip off. I've listed them. Wrong motives. selfish ambition, carnal inclinations, desires of the flesh. Folks, these are things that will hinder our race. And lay aside weights. Laying aside weights and sins like pride. Pride. Please don't raise your hands. Is there anybody here that has trouble with pride? Listen to yourself. Answer that question. What are you going to do with it? You got to lay it aside. You got to put it down. Yeah. You may have to do it daily. Amen. Double-mindedness. There's a big one. These are things that hinder our race. Hinder us from walking the race of God. Spiritual slothfulness. You know what spiritual slothfulness is? We're just too lazy to take care of our spiritual life. It kind of goes something like this. How come you're not praying? Tired. How come you're not reading your word? Oh, I'll do it later. I don't feel like it now. Spiritual slothfulness. And see, you might get away with it for a little while, but folks, sooner or later, you're going to see the results of just being flat lazy. Now listen to me. Did I say you were lazy? Okay. Amen. You look at yourself. Amen. So spiritual slothfulness and fear. See, these are weights and sins that cause us to stumble. Amen. And so if we want to do our best and run our race and finish our course, we're going to have to lay some things aside. The other thing is patience. There's a big one. This was one I had to deal with. This was especially one I had to deal with. You know, when I wanted to have the big house done, a year after we started. Yeah. It was so against my nature. Folks, you don't know. It was so against my nature to only work a couple of days out of the week. Yikes. It was, to begin with, in all honesty, I was so frustrated. Yeah, I was. The scripture says to run our race with patience, the set before us. And we can make our way difficult and hinder our spiritual growth if we don't run with patience. Running our race with patience can be a real challenge. Amen. And it's easy to become impatient. You know, we desire to see changes in our life and changes in others' lives, you know. And we can be so time conscious. I just heard that over there, something about time. 3 years, she said, 3 years. I'm not belittling her, but what I'm saying to her is I'm pointing right to her. This issue of time consciousness can get us in trouble. Yeah. God doesn't operate in the realm of time. I didn't know. Well, when I say I didn't know, maybe the right thing was I didn't want to know. I said to the Lord, how long is this going to take us? And in the beginning, I heard 10 years, and I didn't even respond to it. I just turned around and I walked away. I'm just being honest. You know why? Because of impatient Ken. Yeah. Impatient Ken. God doesn't operate in the realm of time. The Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day to him. Yeah. He don't have days and years and minutes and seconds. He doesn't deal with those issues. Yeah. And what may seem like a great length of time to us may only be a fleeting moment with God. Isn't that something? And that's why it's important for us to learn how to rest in the promises of God. Yes, Rebecca, rest in the promises of God. See, the important thing is not that you finish school in 3 years and that you're in Panama. The important thing is that you learn everything that you can learn everywhere that you are, so that when you're ready to go to Panama, you'll be thoroughly furnished. That's the issue. Yeah. Sometimes God says something to believers about his plan for their lives, and they just want to bring it to pass by their own efforts. I call that Ishmael living. Ishmael. You remember the story of Ishmael? Ishmael was Sarah's plan to help God in having a precious seed. And we're still paying the price of Ishmael living on this earth. The truth is, yes, we cooperate with God, but we can't take God's place in the, if I could use the word, the equation. Yeah. God's plan is he lays it out to you and you follow his plan. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we can muddy the waters. That's what Abraham did with Ishmael. He made it harder for God. And he made it harder for his own people. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. We can hinder God's plan for us live, God's plan for our lives, and make it so that God is not free to do what he wants to do. Yeah. For all of us, there are seasons of vision. That's where he gives us the plan. I didn't know the whole plan. I still don't know the whole plan. I'm walking one step at a time. And I'm content to walk one step at a time. You want to know why I'm content to walk one step at a time? Because I don't know as I should know. And for me to know anything, I got to know God. And I got to walk with God. And I don't believe I'm smart enough to direct my life. Does that surprise you? He's the only great God who sees the horizons of our life. And so what I want to do, if I'm going to be smart, what I want to do is say, okay, God, what do I do here? I'm not moving till you tell me. I'm not moving till you tell me. I'm not making any changes until I know that I know that I know. Amen. Season of vision. We all need seasons of vision where God reveals his plan to us. And then there are seasons of preparation. Rebecca don't realize it yet, but she's already been in seasons of preparation. She thinks that she's going down to Bible school next year, and that's going to be her preparation time. But she has been prepared for the last 10 years of her life. And she's going to find out when she gets there, there's going to be a lot of things that they say to her that the preachers and the elders have been saying all along that she didn't really pay attention to. Yeah. How do I know that? Because I was there. Yeah, I was there. Amen. Preparation time. There are seasons of preparation. Everybody say seasons of preparation. So seasons of vision, seasons of preparation. And you know what? We got to have both of them before we're ready to enter into the plan of God in our lives. Amen. Something that the Lord said to Brother Hagin that he shared with us as he was teaching us, I feel really saddened that Brother Hagin is not on this earth any longer. And, you know, Rebecca will go down and she'll see videos of those times, and she'll probably see her uncle sitting there somewhere. And that's all well and good, but the truth is that the people that go to that Bible school, they're not going to hear from the one that began the school. That really saddens me. But at any rate, I guess the next best thing is they're going to hear from the ones who were sitting at his feet in those times. He said this. He said, Jesus told him he was quoting Jesus when he said it. He said, I'd rather you were too slow than too fast when you're trying to follow my leading. At least when you're behind me, you can still see me out ahead. But if you're too fast and you jump out ahead of me, you won't be able to see me any longer and you'll get off track. I was thinking about that, and as I was thinking, I was reminded of a verse in Psalms 32. It says, be not like the horse or the mule, which lacks understanding and must have their mouths held firm with a bit and a bridle, or else they will not come to you. The horse represents, of course, those that are quick to the start. That was me. Quick to the start. They can be so quick that they jump out without knowing and understanding the plan of God for their life and get themselves into trouble. And then the mule represents the slow ones. Yeah. And they're what we would consider the hard-headed and the unteachable. Anybody here hard-headed? Don't raise your hand. I've learned that not only to get the what of God's plan, but to continue to pray until I have the when and the how of God's plan. And if I don't have the when and the how of God's plan, I'm not ready to go. Amen. And just because the Lord wants you to do something doesn't mean He wants you to do it immediately. Because God deals with our seasons. Amen. God has a plan for your life. But you're not always going to be ready to step out and fulfill that plan. So God will take the time needed to develop you and to train you before that plan. Days of preparation are never lost times. Everybody say days of preparation. What are days of preparation? Well, I really believe this, that we're always being prepared. Amen. Days of preparation. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to be having Sunday school. Some of you will stay and some of you will go. And things are being prepared even in Sunday school. Yeah. I don't know it all. And I have others with me that can help share the word. And they're able ministers in their own right. Praise the Lord. And our Sunday school teachers, the same way. We're preparing our children for the days that are ahead for them. Amen? Preparation times. Preparation times are not wasted and not lost times. Someone says, well, I just want to get after it. I want to get after it. Well, you get after it without being prepared and you just make a big mess. That's all there is to it. Yeah. 2 Timothy says this, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Amplified says this, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman that has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing, accurately dividing, and rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the Word of God. Did you know we can rightly handle the Word of God, and we can wrongly handle the Word of God? Yeah, it's true. Times of preparation are not always easy. And it will mean that we'll have to die to our own desires. Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult and uncomfortable. But preparation is a part of our race. Amen. And so I'm just going to say it to Miss Rebecca. Don't be so concerned about finishing. Be concerned about being who you're being taught about. Yeah. Don't be so concerned about, well, this is my third year in Bible school. That's not the point. The point is not to get through Bible school in 30 days. The point is getting so full of God that from within you, you now have an ability you didn't have before. That's the point. Amen. And see Bible school as a part of that. It's not the whole of that. It's a part of that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk about Moses just a few minutes, then we'll stop, and I am way late. I do not apologize. Moses is a biblical example of somebody who jumped out ahead of God. Some of you are already in agreement with that. Here's Moses. He's living in Pharaoh's palace in Egypt. He senses a call of God to deliver his people from slavery. But the plan of deliverance may have been delayed because Moses jumped out ahead. And he tried to make it happen in his own way. And when he did that, all of a sudden, Pharaoh is out to kill Moses. And Moses has to run for his life. Scripture says that Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian. That was not the plan of God for delivering the people of Israel. The news of what Moses did spread quickly, and Pharaoh was sought to kill him, and so Moses ran for his life. And it took a lifelong of living on the backside of the desert for Moses to finally be prepared to do God's will and God's plan. It was 40 years later. Don't you think about that? It was 40 years later. Amen. Now see, my point in saying that is that we can hinder the plan of God in our life. And so again, there's three things that we need to look at. Weights, sins, patience. Weights, sins, and patience. We've got to realize now, especially talking about this patience, I remember a particular point in Elaine and I, we were coming back to Illinois from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we had heard the Lord specifically tell us to come back and to lift up the hands of Pastor Potts. And when we crossed over to the bridge alongside of the arch, you know, we're crossing over and coming into Illinois, just a real seriousness came on me. And the Lord said to me, and he spoke in my, you know, in something that I understood, he said, "Ken, this is not going to be a flash in the pan." Now, what he meant by that was, this was not going to be something that was going to be done easily, nor would it be something that's going to be done quickly. And he let me know that what I was doing was for life. See, we're talking about patience here. I had a friend come up. I was working on the corner of the porch there. The porch wasn't there yet. We were just building the infrastructure for all of that pretty PVC that you walk on. And my friend came up and he said, "Well, Ken, I got a question for you." He grabbed my hand, so I said, "Yeah, Mr. Harden, what's your question?" He said, "Is this a lifelong project?" You know what? It is. I said it is. We're talking about the plan of God. It's not going to be a flash in the pan. Danielle is not going to enter into God's perfect will in 10 years, 20 years. She's going to pursue it all of her life. Amen. Rebecca's life's not going to be over after she finishes Bible school. It's not even just going to start. It's going to be a lifelong process of laying aside the weights and the sins and walking with God in patience. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that as we touch this issue of following the plan of God for our life, may we seriously consider these things. May we meditate upon them, Father God, until you speak specifically to our heart certain issues. Thank you for your grace that's at work in our life, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that all of it is designed to bring us to a place of following you so that we can lead others. Help us, Father, that by the Spirit that we would be sensitive. Thank you for giving us the strength that we need to lay aside those things that hinder us. And thank you, Father God, for enabling us to walk with patience the race that you have before us. I give you praise, and I give you thanks for it, and all the saints said, amen. Well, let me encourage you to stay for Sunday school. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that. There's no such thing as wasted preparation. Amen. And I guess with that, you can go ahead and be dismissed. Hug somebody. Praise the Lord. And we'll get started in Sunday school in, about 10 minutes.